This system of sorting punctuation marks as if they were musical rests of ascending value has gone unquestioned for a long time, but I think it's rubbish, complete nonsense. Here's the American essayist Lewis Thompson on the semicolon. The semicolon tells you that something needs to be added. You get a pleasant feeling of expectancy. There is more to come. Read on. It will get clearer. But let's begin with the colon. How should you use it? A colon is nearly always preceded by a complete sentence, and in its simplest usage, it rather theatrically announces what is to come. Like a well-trained magician's assistant, it pauses slightly to give you time to get a bit worried, and then efficiently whisks away the cloth and reveals the trick complete. In the following example, can't you hear a delighted, satisfied yes when the colon comes? This much is clear, Watson, colon. It was the baying of an enormous hound. This much is clear, Watson. Yes, it was the baying of an enormous hound. But as well as the yes-type colon, there is the ah-type, when the colon reminds us there is probably more to the initial statement than has met the eye. I loved opal fruits as a child, colon. No one else did. I loved opal fruits, ah, but nobody else did. A classic use of the colon is as a kind of fulcrum between two antithetical statements. Man proposes, colon, God disposes. And as George Bernard Shaw put it so well, the colon can simply pull up the reader for a nice surprise. I find fault with only three things in this story of yours, Jenkins. Colon, the beginning, the middle, and the end. So colons introduce the part of a sentence that exemplifies, restates, elaborates, undermines, explains, or balances the preceding part. They also have several formal introductory roles. They start lists, especially lists using semicolons. In later life, Carrie Ann found that there were three qualities she disliked in other people, colon, Britishness, semicolon, superior airs, semicolon, and a feigned lack of interest in her dusting of freckles. So, when do you use a semicolon? Between two related sentences where there is no conjunction such as and or but, and where a comma would be ungrammatical. It was the baying of an enormous hound, semicolon, it came from over there. What the semicolon's anxious supporters fret about is the tendency of contemporary writers to use a dash instead of a semicolon and thus precipitate the end of the world. Are they being alarmist? A dash can often be substituted for the semicolon without much damage to the sentence. The dash is less formal, which makes it more attractive. It enhances conversational tone, and it's capable of quite subtle effects. The main reason people use it, however, is that they know you can't use it wrongly, which for a punctuation mark is an uncommon virtue. But it's worth learning the different effects created by the semicolon and the dash. Whereas the semicolon suggests a connection between the two halves of a sentence, the dash ought to be preserved for occasions when the connection is a lot less direct, when it can act as a bridge between bits of fractured sense. However, so long as there remain sentences on this earth that begin with capital letters and end with full stops, there will be a place for the semicolon. True, its use is never obligatory, because a full stop ought always to be an alternative, but that only makes it the more wonderful. The semicolon has been rightly called a compliment from the writer to the reader, and a mighty compliment it is, too. The subtext of a semicolon is, now, this is a hint, the elements of this sentence, although grammatically distinct, are actually elements of a single notion.